Does a balanced budget matter to you or your government at all?
I'll tell you what matters to me. What matters to me is a fiscally responsible budget. What matters to me is maintaining Canada's AAA credit rating, which is the basis for the ratings of all provinces, which is the basis for the ratings of businesses in our banking sector. What matters to me is maintaining a fiscally responsible budget and hitting and, you know, sticking within our guardrails, because the Bank of Canada has been clear that those guardrails are helpful to the Bank of Canada. And so I know by sticking within them, which I have done, I help to create the conditions that make it possible for the Bank of Canada to lower rates.
Okay. You know the voice. That's Chrystia Freeland, Finance Minister, Deputy Prime Minister. You're probably hearing what I heard there, in that she didn't answer the question. And I don't want to, that was on CPAC yesterday. I'm going to make the point. I really believe there's a different standard she's being held to here. If that was Jagmeet Singh, he'd get interrupted and you'd say, you're not answering the question. I'm going to make the case that if this was our next guest and he filibustered like she just did, is a balanced budget important to your government? She went on for 58 seconds about something else. I get it. It'll happen sometimes. We all kill the clock at various times, but I'm going to guess that somebody would have stepped in a scrum or one on an interview and said, you're not answering the question right now. I bring on the aforementioned leader of the Conservative Party of Canada, Pierre Poilievre, and he joins us. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. Now, I don't expect you to praise the budget yesterday, and you've already been critical of it, but I'd ask if there are things in it you'd look at, Pierre, and say, I need a deeper dive if I'm prime minister to decide whether to keep it or whether to scrap it.
No.
Not a thing.
It's a disaster. It is you who will pay for it. If you are a single mom putting water in your kid's milk because you can't afford groceries, you will pay for this massive, costly budget. If you are a 37-year-old living in your mom's basement because Trudeau doubled housing costs, you will pay for this inflationary budget. If you are a senior worried that you're not going to be able to keep your apartment because rents have doubled under Trudeau, you will pay for the extra $40 billion of spending in this new budget. So Trudeau's been telling us now for nine budgets that he could tax more, borrow more, and spend more, and it would cost less. Well, it didn't make sense, and it hasn't panned out. Everything costs more, and you are paying for it. Justin Trudeau is not worth the cost, and neither is his budget.
Let me ask you about the capital gains tax increase. I don't see this as simply tax the rich people without pensions. They may have an investment property. They may be landlords. They might have a mom and pop business that's going to be affected by this. I know you're talking to these people at town halls and they reach out to you and you're doing a lot of door knocking as well. And they tell you these stories. So it's a tough one. Those of us who work for companies and corporations and don't have a pension, this capital gains tax drips down to them, does it not?
It will always be the working people that pay for the cost of excess government spending. Trudeau's been telling you for 9 years that he would spend more, borrow more, and tax more, but someone else will pay for it. Well, no, that turns out that someone else is you. You are the one paying for it. Trudeau hid his family fortune in a trust fund, for example. And then he vacations on private islands of billionaires who probably keep their money offshore so that they don't pay any tax. Trudeau and his friends are not going to pay for this. You will pay for it, and you're already paying for it. That's why after 9 years of Trudeau, you and your family cannot afford a home, nutritious food, gas, the things you used to take advantage before Justin Trudeau. And that's why we need a carbon tax election to choose a new common sense government that will ax the tax, build the homes, fix the budget, and stop the crime.
So this new CMHC housing data from March, I know you're aware of it, but just so our audience is, Canada's on track to build just under 200,000 homes in 2024. We have to build, if we want to meet the CMHC's targets, 800,000 per year. We're not even at 200,000. So that's how that's going. I do want to ask you, what are the province's responsibilities here? And are you liking or not liking what you're seeing from Ontario's work at this with their provincial government?
Well, each level of government has a responsibility, but let's be clear. Trudeau said in 2015 that housing was a federal responsibility and that he was going to make housing more affordable. He has since doubled housing costs. He did that with excessive government spending, driving inflation, excessive temporary immigration, driving demand for homes, and excessive government bureaucracy that blocks home building. And that is why he has doubled housing costs. And yesterday, in his ninth budget, he promised to keep doing all the same things that got us into the mess in the first place. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. That's why my common sense plan is completely different. It will require it will build the homes by requiring municipalities permit 15% more home building per year and permit high-rise apartments around every new federally funded transit station as a condition of getting federal funds. I'm also going to sell off 6,000 federal buildings and thousands of acres of federal land to build, and we'll axe the carbon tax to lower the cost of building materials. That's the plan to build homes we can afford.
Well, I think we all agree we need to be in the same boat and rowing in the same direction on this. So via that, with the Ford government, with some of the mayors, what are those in Ontario, I should say, and especially the GTA, since that's mostly our audience, what are you hearing from those leaders? What are they asking of you if you're prime minister? What are the mayors asking from you?
I'm not interested in what big city mayors are asking of me, to be honest.
Okay.
They've been getting big piles of cash to build up bureaucracies that block home building. And that's the problem. You know, every time a big city mayor asks for a check, Trudeau shows up and gives it to them. And what do? They build bureaucracies that block home building. And that's why we have the second slowest building permits in the OECD. We have by far the most land, the most lumber, and we spend the largest share of our economy on home building of any G7 country. And yet we have the fewest homes per capita. Why is that? Well, it's because we have government bureaucracies that block construction. And I'm going to say to them, get out of the way. To get federal funding from now on, you're going to have to build homes. And I'm going to link the dollars that big cities get from the feds to the number of homes that actually get completed. I'm paying for keys and doors, not promises, not processes, not photo ops, not announcements, a mathematical formula that pays municipalities based on the number of homes they complete.
Pierre Poilievre's our guest on 640 Toronto on Toronto Today. We've got a few more minutes with him. Last thing on housing, because it just is on everybody's mind. I know how packed your town halls have been. I know it's a nonstop topic, but I don't also know if we can have it both ways. I'm sure you've got parents coming up to you saying, we're trying to keep the value on our homes and simultaneously make homes more affordable for our kids. And that's a delicate balancing act, isn't it?
I really don't think it is, because The housing inflation of the last 9 years hasn't been good for anyone. The parents whose homes might have gone up in value on paper, then they have to find a place to live if they ever move out. So if, they sell their house today, well, they have to go live somewhere. And because real estate is just more expensive, for example, seniors' homes are now exponentially more expensive. So everybody's losing because of the housing inflation that 9 years of Trudeau has caused. We need to build more homes because we simply do not have enough to house the people. We have more families than homes. It's a very simple problem. And until we build the homes, it's not going to be affordable. And this is the first generation in our history that has not been able to afford homes. This has never happened in all of Canada's 150 plus years. Never before has an entire generation of young people been unable to afford a home. But thank you very much, Justin Trudeau. You're not worth the cost.
Crime in Toronto's been a big topic, as you can imagine, and it's on people's minds. And every morning, Pierre, there's a story about youths, car theft, carjacking. And you've made a point we ought to do a lot more at the Port of Montreal. But I'd ask you about bail. Often judges make these calls. It's tough to replace judges. I could make you prime minister tomorrow, and it's very difficult to replace judges quickly. So we've got this middle ground here where if you're a 15-year-old and you're arrested for a car theft, you can't go to jail and sit for 8 months and wait for your trial, but you probably shouldn't be able to go home to your own bed and go to school the next day. Again, we're looking for some middle ground here, aren't we?
No. And let's not blame the judges. The judges did not create this mess. This mess came from Bill C-75, which was Justin Trudeau's bail reform, which requires that judges give the quickest possible release to newly arrested criminals. And since he passed that law, we've seen a 32% increase in violent crime, a 100% increase in gang killings and gun crime. It is a direct cause and effect. In Vancouver, under Trudeau's bail law, in Vancouver, the same 40 offenders had to be arrested 6,000 times. Let that sink in. That's 150 arrests per offender per year. And they get released within hours of their arrest. My common sense plan is to change the law and make anyone with a long rap sheet ineligible for bail, house arrest, or parole. It will be jail, not bail, jail, not bail. That's the common sense solution.
I mean, it's every city too, isn't it? I'm sure you're going to small towns that aren't just Vancouver, Toronto. Headline this morning, police say two men, one youth facing 54 charges after two carjackings in Toronto, Pierre. Two of them were out on bail. We're all seeing the same song every morning.
Everywhere, every city in Canada where Justin Trudeau is prime minister, we have a crime spree. And as long as you have his catch and release system, you're going to have more and more crime. And that's why we need, if you want to stop the crime, elect common sense conservatives who will bring jail, not bail for repeat offenders, a treatment, not more drugs for addicts, and stronger borders and ports to stop criminals from bringing drugs and guns in and taking stolen cars out. Common sense.
I got one last one for you. You get a hypothetical phone call after we hang up, and it's Jagmeet Singh, NDP leader, and he says, should I vote for this budget and support it, or should I not support it? What would you tell him to do?
Vote no. Vote for the people who elected you. Jagmeet was supposed to represent the working class, lunch pocket, union hall workers, but instead he sold them out and voted for Trudeau to keep Trudeau in power, to tax your food, punish your work, take your money, double your housing cost, and unleash crime and chaos in your community. That's the common sense. That's the costly coalition. It's time for a carbon tax election. The Canadians can have the option of electing a common sense conservative government that will axe the tax, build the homes, fix the budget, and stop the crime.
Pierre Poilievre on 640 Toronto. I appreciate your time today, sir. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.